Welcome to Two Teas in a Pod. I'm Kate Diaz, a Manchester math teacher and elected president of CEA, the Connecticut Education Association. We are Connecticut's largest teachers union, representing tens of thousands of professional educators across the state.
And I'm Jocelyn Delancey, a fifth grade teacher in Darien, elected vice president of CEA and president of CEF, the Connecticut Education Foundation, CEA's charitable arm.
In every episode, you'll hear thought-provoking interviews, as well as actionable tips and strategies that you can implement in your daily life. We'll have stimulating discussions to help you become a more informed, an effective educator and advocate for your students and the teaching profession.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now let's jump right into Two Teas in a Pod.
So today we have with us Lil Perrone, Greenwich Education Association president. Thank you so much for making the long haul to Hartford to have this conversation with us today. How are you?
I'm great. Great to be here.
And how has school been for you so far?
School's been very interesting. Teachers are very excited to be back, back to teaching, having the students in the building. The students are happy to be back. But with all the positive, there is some negativity still on the rise in Greenwich.
Yeah, I know you had a little bit of a challenge at the start of your school year. And I think some of what happens is a lot of the personal hurt that goes on in these sort of attacks that have been occurring either at Board of Ed meetings or in local communities tends to get this sort of global sense to it. But there are real teachers, like yourself, impacted by those attacks. Can you give us a sense of what that's been like for you?
As throughout the state, you know, teachers really, during COVID, had to give their all. Teachers had to pivot and learn new teaching strategies, learn new technology. And we went from being heroes during COVID to now being back in school in September and now being under verbal attacks, questioning our professionalism, what we're teaching, how it's taught, and even having some small groups of very vocal parents actually stalking and going on Twitter and teachers' websites and Google bombing meetings. And it's very upsetting for a staff that gave so much during that time to be treated with such disrespect.
Well, I think it's really interesting, too, because we know that it's something that's a common practice for parents to sometimes have concerns about what goes on in school. But there are typical protocols and procedures that can be followed when parents have questions or think that they have an issue that's going on within a classroom or within a building. But these parents aren't necessarily following those protocols. And that has an impact on not just the teachers who are facing the questioning and attacks, but also the entire teaching community. So can you give an example of what that feels like for the teachers who are just going in every day trying to teach their lessons and have support from the parenting community, but hearing all of these kind of constant negative attacks and threats to their profession?
Yeah, I could give you, there's a lot of examples. Everything's just flashing through. Okay, so there was a very contested election within town, and there were vans hired with electronic signs that were being parked outside of school and saying don't, you know, vaccination or medical procedures, and they shouldn't be given to our kids, and we're teaching critical race theory and things like that. And it's very disturbing, especially when it's parked outside of school. We teach children, you know, not to talk to strangers, not go to vans. And here it's parked out of school. And kids are asking, like, to the teachers, like, what's going on? What is that? And the teachers are teaching the board-approved curriculum, and they're being questioned. What books are in the library? We want to pre-approve that. And it's very disturbing to teachers that they're afraid to teach because they're being isolated and emails are being sent to the superintendent and whose picture's going to be taken. We even had one teacher who, a very distinguished teacher and an author of children's books, she was at a librarian rally as a guest speaker, and she was being targeted, an African-American teacher, was targeted over something. It was false, it was inaccurate, it was information that was being spread. And that's very scary to a teacher when you have an author, a distinguished teacher, a well-respected teacher that is being singled out and attacked. Teachers start to think, wow, is that going to happen to me?
right? And I think one of the things that really, it's so chilling, right? And education is designed to be an enjoyable, thought-provoking, exciting process. And as we have these sort of outside pressures, you start to see teachers with kind of withdrawing and like this sense of, this is my livelihood, right? I can't literally financially afford to be the next victim. And I can't literally financially afford to be the person who gets in the target, right? So now I'm frightened about the selections of books that I'm reading. I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, how much trouble am I going to be in? And I'm going to say, Lil, we had the opportunity to join you in that Board of Ed meeting when you spoke, and you did an outstanding job. I got to give you a lot of props. I know that it was, you know, I was with you. It was really stressful. And you did a nice job organizing. Your teachers showed up. They really made their presence and support known. They really stood for something and said, we will not be, you know, we will not be victims, which I think is really empowering. So, you know, kudos to you and your board who really kind of pulled and rallied together. But I'm going to tell you, I've been to a lot of Board of Ed meetings, and I was really quite surprised by the intensity of the parent behavior, the flashing of the phone numbers, the really aggressive pounding of the podium, the notion that God's with us. I mean, some of the rhetoric that was kind of launched at that Board of Ed meeting was really overwhelming. And I always kind of put it up against the fact that your average teacher got into this profession because they want to take care of other people's children. And that level of intensity of an attack on people whose entire purpose, their entire dedication of their life has been to other people's children. You know, the juxtaposition of that is so stunning to me. And I think the lack of connection for those parents who were engaged in those behaviors, they really felt like they were attacking a system and were not at all connected with the fact that there were people in that system who are being harmed by their choices. So that was really stunning to me.
Well, and it's interesting you said, you know, teachers can't financially afford to be in a situation where they're maybe in trouble for a choice that they made strictly out of their own professional judgment. But let's not forget about the emotional toll, and that we can't afford emotionally for these teachers to be taxed at this level and to have this fear, because they're going into the classrooms. And if we're looking at Greenwich teachers across the state of Connecticut, they are highly educated and highly committed to their communities. Greenwich teachers, I think we have some who've spent their entire career in Greenwich, really committed to that town.
Right.
And they've been putting 100% of care and commitment to these kids. And the emotional toll that it takes to ward off these attacks in your own presence of feeling, I'm going to go into school, be excited to teach these kids, care for these kids for where they are with the academic needs, maybe some losses that they had to time out of the classroom for either quarantines or just the hybrid model of teaching or whatever it is. We have to have our emotional state in a supported place so that we can give everything to our kids and our students. And these attacks really take away from our ability to do that.
Yeah, so I guess my next question really, because I did a podcast the other day with AFT and with Chris Murphy, and we talked a little bit about this. And my real question that I keep landing on is, what's the road back, right? Like, how do the teachers in Greenwich, how do the teachers across Connecticut who have feel really vilified, while they're really digging deep to give as much as they possibly can to students, they are being vilified. So what's the road back? And for me, that's my big question of the day is, okay, so now what, right? Yeah,
that's a great question. I'm very optimistic. Thank you for coming down to Greenwich and supporting us. That was huge. And that was so empowering. In all my years at Greenwich, we've never been attacked like this. You know, I've spent my whole life, I don't live in Greenwich, but I spent my whole life there. It's very a supportive community. So it's very disturbing to see this type of behavior. But we've never had 200 teachers show up to a rally. And it just united our association. We came together. We stood for a cause to fight for, not just for Greenwich teachers, but if we can do it, we're representing all the teachers in the state that we're not going to, that which you tolerate, you accept, and we are not tolerating this behavior. And it's so powerful that we were there, and the biggest voices, they didn't show up to that meeting. So it was great. I'd like to think that because of the rally and our activism of sending out our survey results for the elections, we stopped one of the vocals from getting elected. They lost by one vote, and we put it.
That is advocacy, baby.
Yeah.
That's advocacy.
Yeah, we sent it out to all the retired teachers that live in Greenwich, to all the teachers in Greenwich. Here's the facts. Just to, actually, we had a board meeting Wednesday night, and it was wonderful because the parents, not only teachers are afraid, but the parents were afraid to speak up because they didn't want their faces to be on this big TV screen or on this Facebook group or be targeted. At the Wednesday meeting, a lot of PTA parents, a lot of parents came out of the woodwork to say, we love our teachers, we support our teachers, and that was so powerful. And for the first time, our Board of Ed was actually polite, smiling, and laughing. So I'm very excited about what I gave a good vibe of what I observed at that meeting.
That's amazing.
So that's a good
step.
Yeah.
You know, talk about the power of standing up for something, right? And standing tall, because you brought together a lot of groups in this, as you're saying. You know, you're talking about the Board of Ed, the superintendent, the parents, the teachers, now feeling like we're going to own this town. This is our town, and we're going to decide what it's going to look like. And maybe we don't want it to look like a circus. Because you're right. Prior to this, honestly, really, Greenwich has been a nice little community that's taken care of people and has kind of gone about its business. And this really brought kind of a chaos moment to the town. But I kind of like to think that out of chaos, really some powerful things can happen. And it sounds like you're being able to kind of pull everybody together in a unifying space and saying, okay, we are a positive learning community. And what do we want it to look like? So that is exciting, and that is empowering, and that's hopeful, right? I mean, I think in a time where we often aren't feeling so hopeful, right? There's a lot of things to feel a little bit less good about. It's nice to hear that in the wake of all of this, there's been some pull together. I think it gives other communities hope.
Well, and I think it reminds people when you support teachers and you show your support in a proactive and kind way, it makes a big difference. And it allows for us to do our jobs well and be there for students, which is what we do. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Right? Yes, and teachers, we want to be there for the students, but we want to prepare them for our world. And, you know, critical thinking, problem solving, we have to be able to teach and make the curriculum current and not be afraid to answer questions and pose critical thinking and have the students prepare for when they get out of school and controlling, you know, what they read and how we teach. That's not treating us like professionals, and that's not how we want to prepare our students for the 21st century.
Yeah, and I think it's really powerful. We need to own our own professional status, I think, too, and really assert, you know, confidently the fact that we know what we're doing. And I think that the kickback on some of this is teachers standing up for themselves and going, I know how to do my job. And don't dismiss me. Don't dismiss my years of service, my years of education, my years of preparation, and the fact that I have committed myself to your children. So I think that I'm excited to see teachers own that, because I think oftentimes it's easy for us to pull back and say, I'm going to go in my classroom and I'm going to take care of business. And it's not until there's a crisis that there's the, oh my gosh, if we don't step out into the light and we don't get out in front of this, we're going to all suffer. And so it's good to hear that Greenwich is kind of being a nice example of that. I think it's not an isolated community. I think we have quite a few communities that really felt the heat in the startup of the school year and are going to be looking at how do we recover? How do we come together? How do we take a community that's been fractured and say, no, 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 that's not who we want to be forever. That's maybe who we were in this moment, but that's not our whole story. And I think for me, that's really, I don't know, I feel like there's hope amid all of this, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, you have to have hope, and I love what you said, Kate, like it's just a chapter, it's not the whole story.
That's right.
We can't thank you enough for coming out here, sharing your story, advocating for your teachers, the students, and all stakeholders really in Greenwich, because we want what's best for them, and allowing for us to know that there are local presidents out there advocating and building strength with their teachers to make sure that we're doing right by kids and that we're doing right by our colleagues. So thank you so much for coming out today.
And keep doing the good work, Lil, because we know if we take care of the teachers, they will be able to take care of the children.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your support.
Always. We'd like to also thank all of our members for what you do and for listening to this latest edition of Two Teas in a Pod. You know, if you're also interested in learning more about what is real in education, we're going to be hosting a webinar on November 30th with AFT and the superintendents, CAPS. And I think it would be really worthwhile to sit down and listen a little bit more about what's real in education. Because if you want to know, you probably should talk to some people who are in education. We want to thank all of our members for all you do and for listening to the latest edition of Two Teas in a Pod.
For more education talk, subscribe to Two Teas in a Pod and find us at cea.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like what you heard? Share our podcast with your friends and colleagues and spread the word, because we are
stronger together.